Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues a series, The Final Part of the End Times. The Great White Throne Judgment will be the most awful segment of human history. For everyone who died in their sins, no grace will be extended. There is just an expectation of punishment as they are brought before Jesus, and a video of their life is shown. Every mystery, murder, scheme, lie, and hidden deed is made public. This process goes on for hundreds of millions of years. The vast majority of mankind is banished to the lake of fire because their names have been blotted from the book of life. Their screams of anguish echo in the courtroom as they are led out. This message is entitled, The Great White Throne Judgment. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church. And we're going to be talking today about the Great White Throne Judgment. And this is probably one of the most terrible events in the human race. Let me just pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, I just ask you right now that you help me, Lord, to speak, to read the scriptures right, and Father God, to be precise. Let your anointing flow over me. And I want to thank you and I want to praise you for that right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. In our last sermon, which I did last Sunday, we went through the last war, how the devil was cast into the lake of fire, the fallen angels to the lake of fire, and we had a resurrection of unbelievers, and everyone was put back up on earth. Let me reread a couple of verses here through the book of Revelation, and we're going to read in chapter number 20, in verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. So we are now in Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, they had a terrible war, the last war. And there's a cleanup time right now. And if you turn to Ezekiel chapter number 39, we will read here about the cleanup. And I'm going to pick it up in verse number 9. And they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth, and shall sit on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows, and the handstays and the spears, that shall burn up with fire 7 years. So they shall take no wood out of the field, neither cut down any out of the forest, for they shall burn the weapons with fire. They shall spoil those that spoil them, and rob those that rob them, says the Lord God. And it shall come to pass in the day that I will give unto Gog a place. There are graves in Israel, the valley of the passengers on the east of the sea. It shall stop the nose of the passengers, and there they shall bury Gog and his multitude, and they shall call it the valley of Hamon Gog. And 7 months shall the house of Israel be burying of them, that they may cleanse the land. Why are we going to have the land of Israel cleansed at this time? But you see, the great white throne judgment is going to last for probably 400 to 500 millions of years. If you figure this, that each person that lived on earth, and we would probably have 25, 30 billion people at that time, conservative estimate, and each one will get half an hour in judgment, it's going to take a long time. So we're going to be in Jerusalem for a long time. That's why the people there, they go out, they clean up, they get the corpses off and so on, because we're going to be around Jerusalem for about 400 million years. And it doesn't matter now because we got our resurrected bodies. We are now on eternal time. Time does not matter. God's holy angels are building a courthouse so big that they can seat all the resurrected believers in Christ, along with all the believers saved in the last days after the thousand-year kingdom. The walls inside this courthouse is lined with giant television screens and loudspeakers. A huge white throne is built inside the courtroom for Jesus to sit while he judges. Just in heaven, time is of no essence, since Jesus moved all things to follow eternity time. Huge holding cells are built outside the courthouse, and all unsaved people from Adam and Eve to the last person who died in the last war are resurrected. And those who sided with the devil, but were not involved in attack on Jerusalem, are arrested by God's angels and brought to the holding cells. Christians saved at the end of the millennium are transformed to their resurrected bodies, while the unbelievers are resurrected and given ugly bodies of shame. And these indestructible bodies are specifically designed to be sensitive to pain. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 12. That is the book of Daniel. We're going to go to the 12th chapter. So Daniel chapter 12. And we're going to pick it up in verse number 2. Matter of fact, let me read verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which stand for the children of your people. For there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. And that time your people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. That's the book of life. So we went through now the tribulation. And many, verse 2, are then asleep in the dust of the earth. That means those that are dead shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. What I see in the Spirit is that every unbeliever will get a body, very ugly, horrible-looking body, just like demons look ugly. And that body will be built with sensors, like nerve endings. And it is indestructible. If you ever seen an electric heater, you see the electric heater, you got wires in there, you turn it on, it heats up, and the wires begin to kind of shake and hum a little bit, and they get red hot. And they are burning, but they are not destroyed, because they are made to take that type of heat. This is how it's going to be for the unbelievers coming up. They will have heads, arms, legs, body. It's going to be a soul in a shameful body that never can be destroyed, but is super sensitive. Can I give you some kind of understanding of that? All of you been to a dentist. You know that being to the dentist is not fun. Now they numb you with Novocaine, but even so, it's unpleasant. And if you can imagine now, pain, incredible pain over the entire body that will continue day and night forever and ever and ever. That is what's going to take place at the judgment seat of the great white throne. Now, you and I are there. We're being escorted. Angels are simply saying, it's time to take your seat. You and I are going to be seated in there, in this huge courthouse. And now the angels are going to begin. Jesus takes the seat, and they bring in the first person. But before that happened, the angel Gabriel enters the courtrooms, and he tells us to rise, the judge is coming. When Jesus is coming in, you and I, everybody else believers, we're simply standing up, and we're giving an applause, and we're screaming at the top of our lungs, Jesus! You heard people scream at Trump rallies. That's nothing to what we're going to do in this courthouse. Somebody's going to start, Hail King Jesus. And you're going to sing. You say, down this earth, I don't have a voice. You're going to have a voice. We're going to sing our hearts out. The walls are going to shake with the sound of billions of believers, resurrected bodies, beautiful. We're looking like 25 years old, not a wrinkle, perfect. And we're going to sing. And then Gabriel simply says, please be seated. Holy angels surround Jesus. While the angels are positioned around his desk there, and the chair for the person is going to be judged. And then the judgment will begin. An angel will cry, I am bringing in Adam to be judged. All of us gasp as a man with a horrible, ugly body enters the courtroom and takes his seat. Jesus tells an angel to show the video of Adam's 930 years on earth. And suddenly all the screens in the courthouse are alive. And we see how Jesus created Adam, how he walked with him, Eve, the temptation. We see when he fell. But they fell into sin, actually they sinned. And we're going to see it. This video cut to show Lucifer deceiving a serpent, possessing his body. And Lucifer uses the serpent body to entice and seduce Eve. And in turn, using her beautiful body to seduce Adam. And we will see Eve standing there and talking. And then reaching up, and we're going to say, no! And she reaches up and take that fruit and eat it. And then she changes. She sees Adam and says, Adam, come here. I just ate of the tree. You come eat too. Adam had a split change now. I can say this. No, I'm not going to join you. I'm going to stay with Jesus. But he looked at her and he says, no, I'm going to stay with you. And he ate of the fruit. The video shows Adam getting by with his children. But he never taught them. There was no repentance. And when the video ends, Jesus asked an angel holding the book of life, where the Adam's name appear inside. The angel replies, it has been blotted out. We are gasping. If you turn to Exodus chapter 32, we have a wrong teaching, have been around for a long time. And you heard a teaching is simply saying this, that, you know, when you get saved, your name is written in a book of life. That is not true. In the book of Exodus chapter 32, and we look at verse number 31. 32 and verse number 31. And Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Oh, this people have sinned the great sin, have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if you will forgive that sin, and if not, blot me, I pray you, out of the book which you have written." And the Lord said to Moses, "Whosoever has had sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book." The book of life was written before the foundation of the world. Every human being was written in the book of life because Jesus died for the entire human race. But if we don't accept Christ, our names are blotted out. Turn to Revelation 3:5. Revelation chapter 3. We're going to look at verse number 5. "He that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." As we're sitting there in shock, they're bringing Eve, an ugly body. She's crying, whimpering, and Jesus looks cold on her, and he simply says, "Roll her life." And the video shows up, and then at the end, Jesus says, "Is her name in the book of life?" And the angel says, "No, it was blotted out." Jesus said, "Take that wretched woman and take her away. I don't want to see him or Adam anymore. Let them go. Take them to the lake of fire." Now, before Adam leaves, Jesus had a speech to him. He said this, "I created you, I loved you, I walked with you, I gave you a beautiful woman. In return, you despised my love and chose to sin with Eve. You rejected me. I hereby sentence you to the lake of fire. The angel will determine the degree of your torment. Take him away. I don't want to see him anymore." Then comes Cain after Eve. And the video shows his life, his failed sacrifice. It shows the murder of Abel, his failure to repent. And Jesus sent him to the lake of fire. No one in a resurrected body ages. And therefore it doesn't matter that this trial lasts for hundreds of millions of years, as each person is brought in and painstaking, accurate video of their life is shown with subsequent banishment to the lake of fire, because their names do not appear in the book of life. All the Old Testament believers were in paradise until Jesus paid for them. And they were resurrected at the time when Jesus went back. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. That's Ephesians, the fourth chapter. I'm going to pick this up. Ephesians chapter 4 at verse number 8. Wherefore he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, he that ascended, what is it? But he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended, the same also that sent up far above what heavens, that he might fill all things. As Jesus was being not resurrected, but when he ascended back up into heaven, after being there for 40 days after his resurrection, he went down into paradise, which is down next to hell in the middle of the earth. He took out all the people that have died, that simply looking to the Messiah, had repented of their sins. The prophets, King David, Daniel, all of them. And they were taken to heaven, where they are. And then when we get up there, we joined them. And then we went to the judgment seat of Christ. Back to the great white throne judgment now. One by one, each person is led into the courtroom. A video of the life reveals all hidden sins and mysteries are revealed concerning betrayal, lying, murders, cheating, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, bestiality. Everything is laid bare for all people to see. Nothing is being spared. It's going to take probably 100 million years before we come to the time of Jesus on earth. And then we're going to see Caiaphas coming in. Ragged clothing, ugly body, some kind of a stupid hat on his head. And the angel said, Caiaphas, the high priest. And he's led in. And now he stands before Jesus. He remembers that he was the one that got up and smacked Jesus, spit on him, plucked part of his beard out. He's the one that said, we're going to have you crucified. He's going to stand there. And now Jesus is going to say, roll this guy's life. As Caiaphas looking for it, he's going to say, oh, why did I do that? But you see, he was a Kabbalist. He was a child of his generation. Understand this, that we are paying for the sins of generations before us. And then, they're going to see on the video where Caiaphas look at Pilate and simply says, you know, let his blood come on us and our generation. He's going to go, oh, did I say that? And then Jesus looked at Caiaphas and said this, not only did you reject me, but you had James killed, the apostle. You persecuted. You paid off the guards that guarded the tomb where my body was. And because of you, Caiaphas, 2,000 years plus of Jewish people have gone straight to hell because Caiaphas, what you did when I stood in front of you. You're going to see Caiaphas just melt and say, by mercy, mercy. And Jesus is going to say, Caiaphas, there's no mercy for you. Is his name in the book of life? The angel in the courtroom says, no, his name is not there. Jesus said, take that scumbag away. And have him start paying for his sins. This is what he said to him. You were a lackey of Satan. You did his bidding. Not only that, you steered the Jewish people to reject me as well. You can hear them cursing you from the cages outside. All of them are going to burn like a fire because you sided with the devil. I've instructed the angels to give you the maximum amount of torment in a lake of fire. He cries, begs me, Jesus, for mercy. But there's no mercy except go. He whimpers as he's dragged away. One by one, humanity comes before Jesus. Some are famous, most are not, but they all lived without Jesus as Savior. The Roman Emperor Nero is hysterical when he's led into the courthouse. And they show the video where it shows him telling his soldiers, get those Christians. I want crosses on the road to my place where we're going to have a party. Crucify them. Smear them with tar. Light them up so when I drive down with my chariot, I hear these Christians burning and screaming in pain. And Nero says, oh, God, did I do it? Oh, it's going to be awful, folks. And Jesus is going to simply judge him. His name is not in the book of life. And they're going to drag him out. The great emperor Nero. Kings, queens, noblemen, generals, political leaders of all kinds face the same kind of fate. We will see that the popes, all the way from 350 A.D., every pope comes up, priests, nuns, church members of the Roman Catholic Church are sentenced to the lake of fire. As the Catholics are coming up, they're going to curse the pope. They're going to curse the priest and say, I'm not going to say that word. But it's too late. And then, here comes Muhammad. And they lead him in. Ugly body. And Jesus said, you scumbag, you led billions of people to hell. You were a liar. He's going to cry and crumble. And then we're going to see them all. Joseph Smith, Brigham Young, the founder of the Mormon Church. Every member of the Mormon Church. We're going to see Charles Russell, Judge Rutherford, and all the people from Jehovah's Witnesses. We're going to see the Buddhist. We're going to see the Hindus. We're going to see them all. We're going to see Napoleon Bonaparte, what he did. We're going to see Vladimir Lenin, Leon Trotsky, Joseph Stalin, Adolf Hitler, Benito Mussolini, Mao Zedong, Fidel Castro. As we see their videos, we're going to say we could not even think of the evil these men did. And you're going to see them beg. You're going to see Mao Zedong beg Jesus and say, have mercy. Pot Pol from Cambodia will be there. And others. And there will be no mercy. For the first time in history, it is definitely shown who was responsible for the murder of President Abraham Lincoln, James Garfield, John F. Kennedy, and there was a second shooter that tried to kill President Reagan when they tried to assassinate him. Turn to Revelation 20:14. Revelation 20:14. Before I read that, let me read this last statement. When it finally comes to the time of the people living in a thousand-year kingdom, the people who accepted Christ are judged. And when they came up and they said, name written is not blotted out, we're going to say, glory to God for everyone that's made it. And then it's over. He'd been there for a few hundred million years. And it's over. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I want you in the chapel today to really understand. I want you that are watching us and listening to us to understand. This is a reality. I have some good friends that simply says, I can't stomach eternal punishment. I can't either, but it's there. I want you to think with me right now. Let's say that you are arrested during the time of the Antichrist. And you're put in a prison. And you're tortured every day. And you know this. This is bad. But it will come to an end. But picture now someone having been in front of Jesus at the great white throne judgment, sentenced to the lake of fire, walking out in their ugly resurrected bodies, and realizing, I'm going to fly on this prison flight to the lake of fire that is out someplace in eternity. I will be deposited there. I will be shackled there. I will live forever. I will burn forever. I will have pain forever. I will never get out of this. Do you understand how bad that is? Most Christians, we act like we are idiots. When we see the unsaved around us, we should really recognize we are saved. Our names are written in the book of life. They will not be blotted out. What about these people? I tell you what. At that judgment seat of Christ, when we are watching, we are not going to cheer when people are taken down. We're going to think about, you know, I was that close of not coming to Christ. Every one of us were rebellious. Every one of us fought before we got saved, and God gave the repentance. We were saved by grace. And this is something I want to hammer into you. I want you to think about this. I want you to dream about this. I want you to talk about this. The lake of fire is real. The great white throne judgment of God is real. Every person not saved will be resurrected. And I predict this. There will be people that are standing up there before the judgment. They're going to turn around. And they're going to see you and me in a crowd. And they're going to call our names out and say, hey, Joe, Harry, Mary. You never told us. I worked with you on the job. I was at the service station. I was the one that cashed out the groceries. I worked with you in the school system. And you never took the time to tell me about hell. Mary, I curse you. Are we going to sit there and say, oh God, oh God, oh man, this is painful. Yes. We failed. It's going to be painful, folks. I want you to go to chapter 21 right now. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city of Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Listen, my friend, we're going to cry a lot at the great white throne judgment. We're going to cry buckets. But then when we come into the new Jerusalem, the new earth, Jesus is going to take us to the Father. And the Father will take you up. And he will wipe your tears away. And he will take away the memories of all the people that were lost. We will not remember them anymore. Because if we remember them, we could never enjoy eternity knowing that Dad is in hell. Mom went to hell. My sister is there. My brother's there. We could never enjoy heaven. So we will have our tears wiped. Our memories will be gone of that. We will not remember them anymore. Otherwise, it will not be heaven for us. If you turn to the last page we have here today, I want to turn right now to Matthew 7. I want to speak to some of you watching me right now that are not saved. You've never made a decision for Christ. You've been on the fence. And he says, I'm not too sure. Now I want to tell you today. Today is the day of your salvation. You heard it all today. I want you to come to Christ today. Listen to Matthew 7, verse number 13. We read this. Enter you into a straight gate. Straight means narrow. For wide is a gate, a broad way that leads to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is a gate. Narrow is a way that leads unto life. And few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down, cast into the fire. Wherefore, by the fruit you shall know them. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. What is the will of the Father? That we repent and receive Christ as our Savior. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? In your name have cast out devils. In your name done many wonderful works. And then Jesus said, I profess unto them, I never knew you. You were never saved. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Sister Teresa, which was a Catholic nun working in Calcutta, I read what she wrote at the last part of her life. And she made a statement after retired, before she died. She said, I never found it. I don't have peace. I don't know where I'm going. I've done a lot of good things, but I don't have peace. She never personally accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. She's a good Catholic. But she never took the step and said, God, forgive my sins. I believe in Jesus. Forgive me. Jesus, come on in. I want to be born again. She never did. So many others. If you belong to a church, and there are many people in Baptist churches, Pentecostal churches. You are simply, you have churchianity, but you're not saved. You never made a personal commitment to Christ. You're there because you like it. Parents brought you in. Sheer habit. Wouldn't you be good for you to simply say, today, I'm going to make sure that I am saved. In John 14:6, Jesus said the following. That's the Gospel of John. And that is chapter 14. And we pick it up here in verse number 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. You have to come through Jesus. If you're a Mormon, Jesus is just another man. He's a brother to Satan. You need to know a definition. Who is God? Who is Jesus? What is truth? And then in the book of Acts, chapter 4. The book of Acts, chapter 4, we read the following. Verse number 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. There's no other name under heaven except Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only name we have to be saved. Amen. Have you accepted him? Is he your Savior? And then turn with me to John 3. The Gospel of John, chapter 3. And we read from verses 3 through 6. Jesus answered and said to him, verily, verily, I say to you, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say to you, except the man be born of water, that's physical birth, and of the Spirit, he can enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said to you, you must be born again. If you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you're not born again. You might be a church member. You might be a Sunday school teacher. You might even be a minister. But if you have not accepted Christ, then you're not born again. Amen. Let me take the final scripture of Romans chapter 10. That's Romans chapter 10. And this is how simple it is. In Romans 10, verse number 8, we read it. But what says it? The word is nigh you, or close to you, even in your mouth, in your heart. There's a word of faith which we preach. That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The mouth confession. You repent of your sins. You tell God, I am sorry. I have sinned. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For with the heart, that's the soul, man believes in the righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between a Jew and a Greek. For the same Lord of all is rich unto all that call upon him. And then verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When I was 3 years old, we lived next door to the Pentecostal church in our hometown in Sweden. And they had a pastor there, and he had children, and I would play with him. And the pastor was a nice guy. He didn't just push me aside. He took some time with me. And I remember one day going up the stairway, He went on the second floor, his apartment, where his wife and children lived. And I got into his study, and there was a big picture right there. And I asked him, I said, what's that picture? He said, that is a wedding. That's the wedding picture. I said, last wedding, that when we all going to be the marriage of the Lamb, marriage supper of the Lamb. He explained it. And I remember hearing that. I turned to him and said, I'm going to be there. That was my first decision, 3 years old. When I was 4 years old, they happened to go to Sunday school. And I had a teacher that asked me if I would like to receive Christ. I said, yes. So they prayed with me. Until I was 13 years old, I went to Sunday school, did a lot of things. I loved Jesus. And then I got drawn into the world and lived a pretty bad life. Alcohol. We didn't have drugs in those days. Praise God for that. And then, in 1965, watching Billy Graham on a TV special, Crusader had on television, I realized I need to recommit my life to Christ. And that evening, I prayed and said, Jesus, as a child, I came to you. For now, I accept you as an adult. And that is, I believe I was saved earlier, but that is when I recommitted my life and it changed. It changed to the degree that I left my profession of engineering. I eventually got into the ministry. And if you say that you are saved, but there's no change in your life, I would question it. Jesus said, by the fruit you shall know them. If you are listening today or watching, and you simply said this, I am not sure that I really made a commitment to Christ, I want you to make that today. Because I want you to be with me in the audience, at the courthouse. I don't want you to be at the great white throne judgment. In a few moments, we're going to close here. The screen will change for you. You will see three crosses coming up. And you will hear the soothing voice of Pastor Charles saying, my friend, he will spend a few minutes with you. Pray with you. Give you some scriptures. Would you pray with him today and accept Christ? You will not see him, but you will hear his voice. And to those of you that are Christians, maybe I shook you today. I'd rather have you recommit your life to Christ than to think you're saved and end up in the lake of fire. If you're not sure, why don't you pray with Pastor Charles too after we finished here? And how do you pray? Just confess that you're a sinner. Confess you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on the cross, rose on the third day. He paid for your sins. Ask God to forgive you. And ask Jesus to come in and save you and be your Lord and Savior. And that's all it's going to take. I said just about everything that can be said. And so with that, I've done my best. I yelled a lot today. I got upset. But if I can scare the hell out of you and get you to heaven, I'll be glad to do that. So with that, we're going to have Brother Thomas come and close in prayer. And hopefully, I see you in the bleachers at the great white throne judgment.
Father God, thank you for the word, Lord, and the the glimpse into the future, Lord. Looks like a long way to go still. And we know that the world is in turmoil, but it doesn't even compare with what's coming. So we lift up people for salvation around the globe. We pray against all war and civil unrest and all these things that look like they're stirring on the horizon. We pray for salvation and brotherly love. We thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7-8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible.
Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You have been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the third part in the series, the final part of the end times, and was entitled The Great White Throne Judgment. This time of judgment will be the most awful segment in human history. While God is not willing that any man should perish, no grace is extended for those who died in their sins and refused to make Jesus their Lord and Savior. Everyone sits in a gallery, and one by one, humanity comes before Jesus, and a detailed video of their life is shown. Some are famous, most are not, but their rejection of Christ is the one thing they have in common. No one in a resurrected body ages, and therefore it doesn't matter that this process goes on for hundreds of millions of years. Every mystery, murder, scheme, lie, and hidden deed is made public. When it finally comes to the time of those who lived during the thousand-year kingdom, the people who accepted Christ are judged and returned to their seats in the gallery. However, the vast majority of mankind is banished to the lake of fire because their names have been blotted from the book of life, and their screams of anguish echo in the courtroom as they are led away. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1774. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.